Get started. Okay. Question I want to deal with today is why was Matan Torah necessary? In a sense that, Avram Avinu kept the whole Torah, Chazal tell us, figured the whole thing out. All right, so without the dramatic fanfare. All right, he also got told to him explicitly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the mitzvah of Bris Milah, right? Without the whole fanfare of a Matan Torah. And now that, another thing is that the day after, for reasons we have yet to define, why Shavuos is called Matan Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to heaven for 40 days and 40 nights to learn, why? Why can't he stay on earth? And God will just tell him the information. Like, Avraham Avinu got the information of how, the mitzvah of Bris Milah, he was on earth. God came to him in a prophetic vision, told him to do the mitzvah of Bris Milah with all the halachas. Prior to Matan Torah, we were in Mora, and we got three mitzvahs there. Shabbos, Kibbud Av, and Dinim. And then have...
the whole experience of Sinai was experienced by the entire nation.
Right.
So that was, for all generations to come, the proof that it is real.
Okay.
Proof of
our Sinai. Fine. So Rose is raising an important point, that there is an element of Matan Torah per se, right? That it is the cornerstone of our faith, because it shows empirical evidence, right? That Moshe Rabbeinu, represents God, right? So
as the Rambam, writes very in detail that if you think logically, it's not possible for 600,000 people to have concocted this lie and to perpetuate it, especially with all its, stringent laws and regulations. And someone would say, my father, my grandfather, they never heard such a thing, but it was witnessed, and that's how it was able to be
fine.
Proof.
Okay, fine.
It's even more than 600,000, because you count the men as 600,000.
Right,
the women, and
everybody.
It's
about a million, right?
Right. What? Yeah, right. Just as 600,000 men from the age of 20 till 60. Right. Correct. Now, so that's 100% true, and it's even more than that, that once Ma'amad Har Sinai has happened, it was a game changer for the Goyim also, in the sense that the Rambam paskins, that a Goy will only get Olam Haba for Sheva Mitzvahs if he keeps it, because Moshe Rabbeinu is the source that the Goyim were commanded these seven mitzvahs. If he does it, for philosophical reasons or because he has his own transmission, he doesn't get Olam Haba for his seven mitzvahs. Mm-hmm. And again, because Moshe Rabbeinu, that he represents God, that's been shown empirically by Ma'amad Har Sinai. But it's still, there still begs two questions. It would have just been enough to have the dibur of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. That's the point. The point was God would introduce himself personally. That Moshe Rabbeinu really represents God Almighty himself. But we have another nine dibros after that. Right? Then it's called Matan Torah. And furthermore, if it's still called Matan Torah, even though maybe there's 14 mitzvahs in the whole 10 utterances together. The second one is a little bit complex. They'll shtach them, they'll solve them. Every lo over there is a separate lo sase of the 365 lavin. why does Moshe Rabbeinu need to go up to heaven to get, the balance of the Torah, which, by the way, is not called Matan Torah. The day that God appeared, that's called Matan Torah, even though we only got 14 mitzvahs. Moshe Rabbeinu going up and getting the Torah in its entirety happened the next day. He went up for 40 days before. That's not called Matan Torah. That's not called Matan Torah. But the question we opened up with is, why is all this necessary? Avraham Avinu, figured out the whole Torah by himself. Right? And Bris Milah, which God wanted to, he waited till he would hear it from God directly. He didn't have to go up to heaven to get the mitzvah of Bris Milah. God came to him and while he was on earth and told him the mitzvah of Bris Milah. Same way we got the three mitzvahs that we got in Mora, right? Kibbud Av, Shabbos, and Dinim. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have to go up to heaven to get those mitzvahs. God came, by prophetic vision, told it to him while he was still on earth. So, what is with this Matan Torah business. So our questions are like this. Why was the great revelation necessary? Right? And why was it necessary to go up to heaven? Now, why can't Moshe stay on earth and just be taught the Torah that way? Right? And why is, the day of Shavuos, so we got maybe 14 mitzvahs sacha called, that's called Matan Torah. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu going up to heaven the next day, for reasons that we have yet to explain. Right? So, that's not called Matan Torah, even though that's where he got, the rest of the Tariq mitzvahs. He got called Torah Kula then, right? On Shavuos, he only got 14 mitzvahs. So now, to understand all this, there's the pasuk says, "Va'er Avram v'Yitzchak v'El Yaakov bekel Shakai, u'shmi havaya lo nodati lahem." Right, so as Rashi explains right there, it's not that lo hodati. The Avos knew the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, right? But I didn't display it. They did not. They didn't see the midah of Yud Kei Vav Kei. That got displayed with Yetzias Mitzrayim and subsequently with Matan Torah. And I want to explain that, because that one pasuk is explaining the shift of everything that there was. The nature of the avoda of the tzaddikim that lived and operated before the generation of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah, and now the shift that's taking place. Now, all these guys, even Noach knew Kol HaTorah Kula, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Noach, he knew the laws of kashrus, right? And like Rashi says, "Mikan shulamad noach tera, shame veiver," right? But there is a fundamental difference, and the fundamental difference is all captured by a difference of the name Kel Shakai versus the name Havaya that's being revealed in this whole process that starts with Yetzias Mitzrayim and culminates with Ma'amad Har Sinai, and then there's just some leftovers that have to be supplemented by Moshe Rabbeinu going to heaven. Right. What does the name Kel Shakai mean? Right. That's the way, by the Avos, by Aram, I revealed myself with the name Kel Shakai. Right. So now, when you take a look, in any pasuk where HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes his haftachas, Ani Kel Shakai, pray or vey, right? He tells Yaakov Avinu. Right, when he made these promises to the others with that name. Now, what does Rashi say over there? Die because I got what it takes. I could fill this promise. Sounds pretty good to me. Yesh li die, right? I have enough. I could fill the measure. I could fill the need. Whatever I'm promising you, I could deliver on. So what's wrong with that? What's lacking? Right, but the Gemara says in Chagiga that the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, right, the world was expanding in infinite proportions because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was of infinite power. So the Shemaim were nimtachim, the heavens were just stretching and stretching, out of control. Ad shegar b'hem HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'amar lehem di. HaKadosh Baruch Hu screamed at the world and said, die. And that's what the name Shakai means, Sha'amar le'olamo di. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the world, stop. Stop here. Right. So the idea of die, right? Enough, right? It has a dual meaning, right? And the dual meaning comes from the same root. So like Rashi said, by the Ovis, yesh li die. I have enough. I could fulfill my promises, right? Or die, as in stop. But the two ideas are based on the idea that there is a definite measure. Right? This is the measure. Now, I have enough to fill it, but enough. And it can't be more than enough. What happens if it's more than enough? It spills over. And it's wasted. There's no kalim to hold it. And that's why enough, enough means also and not more. Because more is a waste. And waste, anywhere between a waste and harmful. Right? The kli could break also. Right? The vessel won't be able to hold it. So the idea of I've got enough, and the idea of stop here, they're actually two sides of the same coin. Right? That there is the definite measures, the definite parameters, that things have, and you have to have enough to fill it, but not more. More is bad. Anywhere between waste and harmful. The world that the Avos lived in, right? Take a look. Seemingly, on the surface, they failed. Avraham Avinu failed. Right? He had the Nefesh HaShasu Becharon, tens of thousands. It didn't last more than one generation. By the time of Yitzhak Avinu, they were all gone. He was known throughout the world, and there was nothing left of it. The world was equally as full of Avodah Zarah, the next generation, as if nothing happened. That's why, he really wanted someone that he could depend on, like a natural son, that he could depend on to carry on the heritage. He did not want to be Somech on Eliezer. According to some Shittas, Eliezer fried out and became Og Melech HaBashem. There's a Pirkei Rebbe Lezer like that. He became Og. But there's also a Lashon Chazal that he never died and he's still in Maros HaMachpelah serving the Avos. Okay, a lot of different midrashim on that.
In other words, when Yitzchak and Yaakov were alive already, they started with the Avodah Zarah and only lasted for 20 years, a generation of 20 years.
I think a generation is like 30 years, but it makes no difference with the numbers. But the Nefesh Asher Asu Becharon were all gone by the time Yitzchak Avinu took over the ministry. So you can understand where Shem and Aver were coming from. Right? These guys knew the truth, and they didn't try to change the world. Right? They stayed in their little corner. There was a logic to that. They knew what they were doing or what they weren't doing. It's pointless. They're not going to engage in an exercise in futility. Now, this is very much brought out by when Avraham Avinu... They had yeshiva, and you want to come learn, you come to us. If you're serious.
They weren't going to...
They were not going up, correct. Avraham Avinu started that. Right? Avraham Avinu, that was what he did different than Shem and Aver. No one, before Avraham Avinu even tried. Noach, they didn't go out preaching. He was building the ark. Anyone who, so Kadosh Baruch Hu gave it, as it were, a chance. It took 120 years, I think it was, to build the ark. So anyone who passed by and asked him, what is it? Tell him it's a marvel. They didn't go out and preach to the world, that everyone should repent. Because they knew it was futile. There's no, the world has its, just like the laws of nature, don't bend, right? The human mind doesn't bend either. There's like a global mentality, herd mentality, right? Global consciousness. There's no, stretch it for a second, but then, the fad, it burns out. The fidget spinners, they're not going to be playing with it another 6 months. It's it. Hey, it's a mishigas for now, and that's it, right?
Do more than he did?
So he got punished because he didn't even daven for the door. It's like, it's not my problem. So now this is all brought out by, if there was best example of the pre-Avraham Avinu Tzadikim is Shem ben Noach. Mm-hmm. Well, the greatest guy that ever lived, probably. And he was Malki Tzedek, Melch Shoyim. So now when Avraham Avinu and Shem meet each other, so the Chumash describes it that he meets Malki Tzedek, Melch Shoyim, Hotzechem, Vahu Kohen Lekel Elyon. He was a priest to God on high. And then he meets Avraham Avinu and he says, Baruch Avraham Lekel Elyon, Kone Shemayim Ve'oretz. Let's have Avraham to the God on high, who owns heaven and earth. So Chazal tell us, right, that this was actually Avraham Avinu's chiddush, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kone Shemayim Ve'aretz. That Malki Tzedek learns that from Avraham Avinu, right? That God is also master of heaven and earth. They serve the Kel Elyon, the God beyond, the God that may have created everything, but He's not revealed here. Avraham Avinu was fighting for the message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Konei Shamayim V'aretz. He was, you know, was trying to make that innovation and that change, but that change, you know, it didn't strike roots. Because the way, you know, everything was wired up is in this mahalach of she'omar lo lamo dai. Right? Everything was in a very set pattern that couldn't be changed. So if you make a lot of noise, all right, so it lasts for one generation. And then it peters out because people just revert back. It's like you stretch something. It snaps back. Right? And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu, V'Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov Bekel Shakai, all my revelations to them did not make a lasting impact on the world because the world remains in the same state that it got locked into at the time of creation. So if there was any type of change, it was temporary before things snapped back to their natural equilibrium. Right. So now in that order of how things were, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not be'etzem revealed here. Even if you're privy, right, to the mitzvahs, you know, through Ruach HaKodesh or however they figured them out, it doesn't change the world. And the mitzvahs of the Avos really did not change reality. So Nefesh HaChayim makes a very interesting diuk. He says, well, you find that Avodas Hashem by the Avos, you know, and or even by the tzaddikim that served, you know, before the Avos started their ministry, as halakim hishalech noach, veishalech chanoch es halakim, they walk with Elohim, not the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, right? And even Avraham Avinu's, Avodah Zarah is called, that he was walked lifnei ha Elohim. It's all Elohim. As the Nefesh HaChayim points out, right, that you could try to make the world a better place, but there's a limit to how much you could stretch it. Right, so, whatever aids they have, to fix global warming or to fix the economy or fix anything, right? You can't really change the rules. Right, the rules stay what they are. Right, we try to just do damage control. It's all damage control, but we're never going to defeat poverty. We're never really going to defeat hunger. We're never going to really defeat all the problems that the world has ever since Chet Adam Arishon. Right, by human means, it's just not possible.
Only right? Because human nature doesn't allow for it. Human nature always put other things first. Because I think what you're really saying is the knower and the knowledge. I mean, that's who separate entities versus the knower and the knowledge become one.
I can't hear you.
In other words, as long as human nature exists, and then there's real problems like poverty or all that, those things.
Right.
Human nature will just supersede the needs, even no matter how correct they are and how much information is about why they're right and the effort to push people to do what's right. Human nature, until human nature changes and what's right and what human nature is are one, and then it changes automatically. That's right.
It will be a lot more efficient and there'll be a lot more damage control. But like you said, the Rambam, who holds that in the days of Mashiach, the natural laws do not change, he says still, people will, it'll be a much better world because people are doing the right things. So he says there still will be such a thing as, the rich and the poor, just not, it won't be as stark, it won't be as painful, it won't be as much, right? As long as the laws are.
It won't be because of injustice, right?
What?
It won't be because of injustice.
That's right. It won't be injustice. Now man makes everything exponentially worse. If we would have held the level that we fell to after Chet Adam Rishon, just held it there, the world wouldn't have been too bad, right? The problem is that it's just all downhill from there, and the problems, the natural problems that there are, we just make worse and worse, right? But still, if we'd be at optimal behavior, there will still be a certain amount of natural problems, as it were, because the universe is made imperfect because of Chet Adam Rishon, and that's not going to be righted until the natural laws themselves change. Right? But HaKadosh is not going to give that to us for free. We have to be worthy of it. So first we have to make things as good as they could be. Right? And then, right?
Yeah, Robert, that happens. There is a sociological phenomenon called cultural lag.
Yes.
You can tell people an idea, but it takes hundreds of years before that idea registers or internalizes in the person's psyche.
Correct.
Take, for example, slavery. The forefathers in this country knew slavery was wrong, but it took a long, long time for the masses and for the country to be able to internalize that slavery was wrong.
Correct.
It takes a long time, and it's called cultural lag. So if Abraham had told the world that there's one God, but it would take many, many hundreds of years before that would sink in.
Correct.
And only with the plagues of power with Mitzrayim did they begin to have it sink in a little bit.
Right. All right, but I'm saying that there's two things that happen in tandem, that, you know, as it were. You know, the message sunk in, but we're also going to show, as it were, there was a game changer, right, which started with Yitzhak, right, it laid the groundwork that was finalized with what we call Matan Torah. It still had to be continued a little bit with Moshe Rabbeinu's trips to heaven and back, which I'll explain in a second. Right, but you have to understand, you know, what mitzvahs meant, right, at Avraham Avinu's time. So you say he kept call Torah Kula. The others knew how to Torah Kula. So what do we need a Matan Torah for? So you have to ask a question like this. What difference did Avraham Avinu's mitzvahs make? Let's ask it like that. All right. What difference did it make? Not much. No, so the aspect of mitzvahs that change human character, because some mitzvahs challenge you, you have to overcome your bad meters, okay. So it changed him, right? And if you know, and if as far as mitzvahs v'adam chaver, if you're nice to people, you know, what goes around comes around, right? But we learned about something else in Derech Hashem, right? That when we do something good on earth, it reverberates to heaven, changes things at the roots of reality, and then by trickle down, if you change the roots, then the world changes, right? Mitzvahs didn't have those types of that type of power before Matan Torah. So for you see, the rules Be'etzem remained what they are, right? And within the rules, right, we're trying to make things as optimal as they can be. So maybe a person could attain perfection for himself. He can't change the world. Right? To change the world means on two levels. It's literally change the world. Down to, you know, bring new energies into the cosmos, but also change your fellow man, right? Because it's something called the law of the global consciousness, that the global consciousness is only as big as the cosmic energies that flow. That's why there's some generations, explain this. What do we mean a certain door is on a higher madrega than another door? Everyone has a goof, everyone has a neshama. Everyone has a neshama also from Kisei HaKovid, you know, and everyone has an IQ also. We're not stupider than the generations before us. Right? So, what it means is that, you know, the cosmic energies flowing through the universe that the mind taps into, right, they're not the same. And the sign for it is that your mental state, right? You know, what do you have on your mind? Goals, ideals, or shtusim? Where the mind reaches is about as big as the cosmic energies flowing. And that's what it means, you know, that there's a, you know, Duras that are on a higher madrega. It means their minds, they think about more idealistic things, right? Think about less idealistic things. And why? And it's an amazing thing, right? You know, the first one to be omit on this was Carl Jung. Right? A kid could be born in a remote, you say we're corrupted by society. That's not so posh. A kid could be born in the most remote island, right? And you'll find an interesting thing. That because most of the world over there is thinking shtusim, he's not going to grow up to be an idealist. He won't. Carl Jung noted this phenomenon. It's like something called the global consciousness. All right. So let's say it started by the media corrupting us. Let's say it started away. But once we allowed ourselves to get corrupted, the cosmic energies are commensurate to, you know, where our interests are. And it affects also someone growing up in a remote place, you know, not influenced by the media. Also, it's not going to be a Baal Madrega. It's going to be pretty much the same same she'ifas, same aspirations as the rest of civilization. You know, he grew up over there in the remotest place in the world. It's an amazing thing.
How much can you transcend? There has to be some leeway, right? How much can you transcend, like a mediocre generation? Your abilities, I guess, are limited too, right? Because you're part of the generation.
Yes. But those who transcend and do it for themselves, you know, they can't necessarily change the whole generation. You saved yourself. So that's the way it was, you know, before Matan Torah. It was really that way, save yourself. Shame vavers saved themselves. Mm-hmm. Anyone else who's serious, you could come to us. We're not going to waste our time trying to change the world. They knew it. They weren't lazy. Right? They knew what they were doing. They weren't wicked people. You know, Avraham Avinu, he was stubborn. too stubborn to quit. Right? But that made all the difference in the world of why he, because of what he was willing to do, even if it didn't stand much chance of a success. But that's what I said, to his children, I'm going to give the Torah.
Is that Chasdei Avos? Is that really what Chasdei Avos is?
Yes.
But after Matan Torah, so is it possible to change the world
could do it ourselves. We had our act together. You know, Prabhupada says, you know, as what Esther asked, you know, how do you, if you're part of a mediocre generation, it's a problem. But if a critical mass of Jews would do the right thing, we'd change the world. You know, Prabhupada says, not a single Jew can't do it in a vacuum, because Torah belongs to the nation. It doesn't belong to individuals. Right? And that also has to deal with another question, which I wasn't planning on discussing, but since it was raised, you know, everyone knows, Godol mitzvah v'osa v'mishenu mitzvah v'osa. Right? So Avraham Avinu would have loved to actually been commanded to do the mitzvahs, right? Because get more schar. So why did God, who wants to always bestow goodness, why did he deny that goodness from the office? Give them all the mitzvahs as mitzvah v'osa. I didn't even tell them, except for Bris Mila. You know, they figured out for themselves, and Ribbono Shel Olam, stayed out of it, as it were. Why did he deny that goodness to the others? The others would have loved to have the Torah. Answer is, because Torah is too big to be the legacy of an individual. Right? It's way too big and way too powerful. Right? Only a nation is a kli for Torah. Right, and that's for two reasons. First of all, Torah is supposed to be an eternal covenant, the Bris Olam. You cannot make a Bris Olam with a Yochid that's here today and gone tomorrow. It's an eternal covenant. A nation is a corporate entity that encompasses all the generations. When you give it to a nation as a nation, you're not giving it to that particular generation, you're giving it to all generations. So it could really be a Bris Olam. But there's another thing, and this is what we're really getting down to. Torah is too powerful to give to one single person. Because it's a world changer. It is a reality shaper. So that's why it has to go to a nation. That's an entity that has global influence. You know, global influence that spans generations. That's the type of player that has to be playing with the Torah. All right. So of course we waited for us to be a nation. Right, but Avraham Avinu was chosen. It's going to be a nation that comes out of his kids because he wanted to change the world. Even though the other tzaddikim knew that it was futile, well, right, he didn't care because he was motivated out of pure love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, and that's what set him apart. He was burning up with a level of Avas Hashem, right, that the others didn't have, and that's why he was chosen. That's why he's called in Tanakh Avraham Ohavi. But still, in the days of the Avos, it's all Kel Shakai, and in that world of where Omar Lolamo die, this is the structure that the world has, right? That's unbendable, right? And in that structure, Akash Bahu is Kel Elyon. The world is not yet designed, hasn't been stretched, to have Gilui Shechina on Earth, right? So that's what it means that the Avos worked, and they went Lifnei Elokim. The name Yud Kei Vav Kei, they were aware of it, but there's no revelation of it. Right? And that's what is changing. that, you know, Yetzias Mitzrayim paved the way, Leman Saper Shmi B'chol Haaretz. So even though Avraham Avinu tried that by himself, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam, all right, it didn't strike root. But when you do it with miracles, right, that the miracles, and this is an important point, these miracles were not one-time events. Right? It made permanent changes. Like we know, Chazal tells us that all the makas were negofle Mitzrayim v'ruful Yisrael. For everything, for every affliction that the Egyptians got, we got spiritual energy from those same. I mean, these things made permanent changes. They built up spiritual energy on earth. For the Mitzrayim that didn't like it, for them it was painful. For us, it was pure power. We're being infused with spiritual power. This is going to happen lost in love also, the Gemara says, that Akash was destined to take the sun. Hotzi Chama Minartik is going to take the sun out of the sheath. Right? So, and there'll be amazing rays. Right? Right? So, yeah. So I don't want to go tan in these rays. Right? Right? And right? So, Gemara says, so I just want to finish the Gemara. It says, Rishoyim tzadikim misrapim ba, the rishoyim nidonim ba. The tzadikim are going to get tremendous spiritual power, and the rishoyim, they're going to go out there also start tanning. They're going to be vaporized. Because, you know, if you're a spiritual person, spiritual energy builds you up. If you're anti-spiritual, so you've set yourself up in an adversarial relationship, you know, and so it vaporizes you. So that's going to happen in the future also, and that's what happened in Mitzrayim. Yes.
Does this dovetail with the fact that it says that we were there, that everybody was there?
Correct. Because that's what a nation means.
What does that exactly mean? Does that
right.
exactly mean that our souls were
our
there?
Souls were there. I mean, our souls were there. Because a nation is a corporation. That's not just those particular people that are alive at the time. It encompasses all generations. All right. So now that's so Yetzias Mitzrayim paving the way, and it got fires by Matan Torah. So Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. So like Rashi says, Hirchin Elyonim al Tachtonim. There was a dimensional bend. Kodesh Baruch Hu superimposed Elyonim al Tachtonim. An amazing thing, right? That the structure of reality was broken, you know, in a good way, right? That you know that you know, what was Kel Elyon. Elyonim, not above, as in beyond and out of reach, right? Hirchin Elyonim al Tachtonim, superimpose the heavenly on the earthly. So it means Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. I mean, God's everywhere. That's what it means, Vayered. So that which was called Elyon, like Kel Elyon of Malki Tzedek, that's Hirchin Elyonim al Tachtonim. Kodesh Baruch Hu folded up the dimensions on top of each other. Then Kodesh Baruch Hu changed the structure of reality. That the Elyon appeared here. That's an amazing thing. Power that was previously out of reach, right, now came to Earth, and that was the huge cosmic change that happened at Ma'amad Har Sinai. It conditioned this world now to receive divine power. Now, it was a conditioning. It didn't fully happen, right? Because, I mean, you know that this is true. Very simple, right? Is there any issur to go up to Har Sinai b'zman hazeh, if we knew where it was? You know, where they take you in the sign, it's not it. It's somewhere in Saudi Arabia, right? But, which I can't tell you exactly where, but it's not where, you know, they take you on those tour buses. But don't go there anyway. Al-Qaeda's there, right? Is it mutter to go on Har Sinai, even though it was a place of the greatest revelation? Mutter, right? It was mutter to go as soon b'mshocha yovo himayalu bahar. Right? The world was conditioned. The Shechina did not strike root there, right? Whereas in Yerushalayim. And Harabais, you're not allowed to go to even Bizman Hazeh. The Shechina struck root. But what changed at the time was HaKadosh Baruch Hu reconditioned the world. He reconditioned the world, right? That the world is now capable of holding divine power.
Well, the people were empowered in Har Sinai. It was a one-way street. So that doesn't lead to, or that doesn't fulfill really the ultimate perfect arrangement, which is malchus, which is the interaction of the two. And then in Beis HaMikdash, we were the ones who invested it with holiness, and like for the Mishkan and Yoshi Mashmini, and our tefillah, and that, and malchus comes through us.
Right.
So, you know, and therefore it has retained kedusha because it's integration, right?
That's right. That's right. Har Sinai wasn't integrated, but it reconditioned the world of being capable of
integrating. Is that
that's right. Correct. It was not.
So in other words, we got kalim that made it possible to have the Shekhinah dwell among us. Is that what you're saying? That it's possible that
yes.
we are part of it.
That's right. The world was reformed. The world was reformed at Matan Torah. And that's why it's called Matan Torah, because it facilitated holding the Torah. And that's in the most literal sense, holding the Torah. And I'm going to explain that in a second. Right? But I first want to get back to another Lashon and Chazal. You know, it's called Har Sinai. It's called Har Chorev. Right? Har Sinai, Shiorda Sina La'akum. There's now hatred towards the Goyim. Right? Yarda Churban La'akum. There's now a destruction for the Goyim. Churban, Lashon Churban. Right? And also, there are Shams and Chazal that it goes the other way. That now they hate us because of it.
I thought it said
Yarda Sina La'olam. What? As I remember, you know, it's a word says Akum, right? As I recall. But the point is like this. So, you know, what changed? The whole world changed. All right. Now it's called Yarda Churban La'akum. Their way of life was the natural way of life. Right? The world, couldn't be any better. And it was pretty much locked in to that pattern, right? The secular way of life. Right? With Matan Torah, it opened up the path of the Jewish way of life. And now you have really a real struggle of two different world orders. There used to be only one world order, and the Jews were a bunch of nuts, right? And, doing something that's totally unnatural, strange, deviant. Now it's world order versus world order. Right? The Torah brought a new, Matan Torah, brought a new order into reality, which threatens their way of life. And that's why the adversity got much worse. They wouldn't hate us nearly as much if we wouldn't have a Torah, mamish on earth. Because they're just a bunch of nuts, a bunch of eccentrics, right? They'd be fighting for us just like they fight for every terrorist, right? But the liberals don't fight for us, right? Because not about it being eccentric. It's really a different way of life. That we're carrying a different way of life that is a threat to their way of life, literally. Not perceived, I say communism threatens our way of life. This is like real. It's for real. This is a different world order. And that's from Mamad Har Sinai, that a different order came to the world. Right? So now, in this world order, we're not living based on Torah. We're not living based on Torah. Torah is here. When the Ovis figured out Torah, or Avraham Avinu even was told by God the detailed directions of how to do bris milah. Right? But this all being before Matan Torah means Torah's up there. Torah's in heaven. Torah's not here. Right? And I told you what it says in the Torah up there. Right? So let me illustrate something. Right? If we talk about physics right now in this room, and we're all going to talk only about physics, right? Is this a makom physics? Is there going to be more physics here than somewhere else where we don't discuss physics? No, physics is everywhere equally, right? And yet we find a Lashon Chazal, Makom Torah, Hevi Gol Makom Torah. And it's not just because, it's not because we have the Mishnah and Ovis. If 10 people learn, the Shekhinah's there. 5 people learn. Even if just one person, Shekhinah Imo. Right? There's real, it's manifest. It's manifest. There is more Torah. There's the energy of Torah. People talk Torah. Right, so that means that our Limud HaTorah is not just information regarding the Torah that's somewhere in heaven. Like if we discuss any other discipline, we're discussing something that is elsewhere or everywhere equally. Right? When we learn Torah, there is Torah there. That's why, fine, you know, and then Chazal, Rosh Hashanah Baruch Hu, learned Torah, you know, there was a fire, right, all around him. You know, some Benazil learned Torah, you know, the bird flying overhead got vaporized, right? We always spoke out for Meir Shapiro of Lublin, you know, what the difference between a chassid and a misnagid is. Right, he was both a chassidish and a Rosh Shiva, so he had a foot in both worlds. So the chassid learns that Gemara of Yonasan Ben Azil. He learned and the bird got vaporized. He was learning Torah Lishma without any ulterior motives. That pure learning has that type of spiritual vibe by me. The Litvak learns that Gemara, says he was learning and the bird vaporized. I have to pay for the bird. He's not going to have to pay for the bird. Anyway. Right, that's true, Ms. But you're a real Litvak, right?
Litvaks love like that.
Anyway.
Wouldn't there be an argument that today there's so much learning Torah compared to, let's say, in the 1920s or 30s?
Yes.
There's a lot of Torah going on.
Yeah.
And here and in Israel, Baruch Hashem.
Right.
I don't see the world getting better. I see the world getting worse. I mean, yeah. There's much more negativity of every sort. I mean, I think the world, I mean, I've lived the wrong life so far. I see that in the 50s, things were much more wholesome in this country. Today, the world is really horrendous. I mean, you've got to very much protect the children today. I didn't have to protect so much my children. The generation today have to protect that. It's full of Torah today. So, but there's so much learning going on. So
right.
How do you explain that?
Well, first of all, you know, the Zelu Umase Asolukim. Right? You know, everything's plus to the cause. You know, everything is counterbalance. One could argue because there's so much learning, that's why, you know, the Sitracher has to make a counter stand, you know. Like in the people were on an amazing madrega during the first temple period. They had Nevi'im that walked the earth, right? And it was full of Avodah Zarah, right? You know, the Yetzer of Avodah Zarah. You know, but between me and you, there's a lot to say about all the Torah learning going on. Yeah, whatever. You know, but not now. Yes. Right. There's a lot to say. Right. A lot of people are enrolled in.
Much better, I think it's the opposite. I think it's better.
Right.
Because there's never been an age, I don't know everything about history, obviously, but where the emphasis on the right of the individual to be an individual and to be who they are. And there's no tolerance today. And that's why you might even say all the kids are rebellious and chutzpahdik. There is no tolerance today for a child who gets compelled to fit into a mold, a teacher who doesn't listen to or take the child seriously. There's no tolerance. Everybody has to listen to, has to be heard and seen. In other words, the individual, all the TV shows that bring random individuals to perform and show their particular talent, this political correctness to judge anybody on any level for anything, there isn't an understanding that each person is a person, is a Tzelmukim, is like a whole, I mean, they might not say Tzelmukim, but a whole world. And they're allowed to be, I don't know if there ever was such a thing. And that's a lot closer, except it could be very dangerous, to the Torah ideas.
And this day,
right. You know,
and this day,
and all over, even television shows that promote the individuality of a person, all the political correctness.
Yeah, but it goes so far.
Yeah,
also.
Well, yeah, because
it has to be your liberal type. You know, it's not.
But it's out. If
they're not promoting the, you know, if your ideals don't agree with.
Yeah, but
the
certain, but
you know,
there's
notions,
true.
You're not going to get.
You
have way too far.
Every side goes extreme, but there's not consciousness.
Yeah, if you're born a boy, you don't have to identify as being a man anymore.
The consciousness of a person being able to declare or decide they're who they are, and it should be acceptable. It's an interesting phenomenon, and it is in line a lot with each person being themselves and allowed to be a creator of their own world. And
some of it's gone a little,
yeah,
a little over the top.
It's
like some of it,
I think,
counteracts nature.
Yeah,
exactly.
You're allowed
right.
to decide anything.
It goes both ways.
Right.
Exactly. I mean, when you say Torah is in the world, you know, I think you're hitting on something that is, you know, you said Sinabah, La'olam, or whatever, Akamah, Kot. The only reason they want to hate or they want to destroy is because when that reality is now part of, is everybody's reality, then that means they're expected to also acknowledge it. And the fact that they don't want to is where the sinner comes from. If the Chinese do their thing and we do our thing, nobody cares, you do your thing, I do mine. It's
right.
Only when you feel you're also
correct.
Part
correct.
Of it. It falls upon you too. When there's new consciousness in the world where people could be Kalin for the Torah and the Kedusha, and I don't want to,
mm-hmm.
then I hate the people that are doing right. The whole consciousness that there's something now that they know better and they don't want to step up to it.
Okay.
And so there is this greater consciousness.
So you have to minimize the value of it, or say it's not.
Hitler said it. He said the Jews are the conscience of mankind.
That's right.
Openly said it, straight up. You don't need anything clearer than that. There's a conscience. It means everybody expected to be more. People, you know.
Correct. Okay, so that is what changed at Mamad Har Sinai. And that's why all those 14 mitzvahs that we got, all the Rishonim agree. It is you can't look anywhere and not see this idea that those Aseres Hadibros and those 14 mitzvahs therein are a capsule of Kol Torah Kula. And there's those who say piyutim, the piyutim that the people say on Shavuos, all explain the Tariq mitzvahs, how they're all alluded to in the Aseres Hadibros. It was a general reconditioning of reality, even though the actual information of Torah was taught to us over the 40 years in the desert. But it's called Matan Torah because it was the reality was reconditioned, right, stretched. Right, to be able to hold the etzem ore of Torah here on earth, right? Even though it's heavenly, and never stopped being heavenly, never stopped having its kedusha, which is the highest form of kedusha in reality. First thing God created outside of Himself was the Torah. It never stopped having that intense level of kedusha, and it's still here, without its kedusha being reduced at all. That's amazing. Right, so to whatever extent there was Torah on earth beforehand, it was by trickle down, right? But now the essence of Torah, the Or Torah, without any mitigation, is here. Now it still is a reality stretcher, and the Maharal explains that's why you make the bracha no sein ha Torah in present tense. Torah is, as it were, still being given, because this is like something supernatural. It's natural places in the highest heavens, and it's still here. So as it were, God is perpetually exerting effort to keep it here.
Where does Kabbalah
Satorah
come in, that phrase? Where
is that? Yeah, so Kabbalah Satorah is not, not really what Shavuos is about. It's Matan Torah.
But where does that come from?
Well, so that is the idea of our integrating of it. But right now we're putting the stress of what happened on Shavuos, right? Is that, things were being rewired, and that's why it's called Matan Torah. And with this, the Ramchal in the Das Furis explains the hardest line in the Haggadah. What's the hardest line in the Haggadah? Iru kirvanu lifnei har Sinai v'lo nason lanu es haTorah dayenu. What do you go there for if you're not going to get the Torah? That's crazy. Right? So says the Ramchal, it's alluding to Mamad Har Sinai. We didn't get the Torah information-wise. We didn't actually get all the information. From Mamad Har Sinai, you don't have enough information to do more than two mitzvahs right. Anochi and Lo Yelcha. Because even all the other details in Lo Yelcha of Lo Saschcha Peso, the details you still need, other psukim and the rest of Torah, there's like two mitzvahs you could do, just to believe in God and not believe in any other God, that's it. Right? You can't even keep Shabbos. Zohar Yom Shabbos HaKadosh, there's not enough information in that Dibra to keep all the halachas of Shabbos. With the malachas we learn out of the Hekesh with the Mishkan, that's not there. That's right. So, we really didn't get Torah in the literal sense, he said. What did we get at Har Sinai? Kirvanu lifnei Har Sinai. We were drawn close. Right? The distance between heaven and earth was closed. And he says it's beside the Keraftanu l'shimcha hagadol that we say in Davening. We were drawn close to the great name Yud Kei Vav Kei. That was removed. We're drawn close. The distance between heaven and earth was closed on Shavuos. This is Taka Kerevonof Nehar Sinai. Right? We were drawn close. And he likens it that we got our bar mitzvah, right, on Shavuos. And on the day the kid turns bar mitzvah, he becomes a mitzvah v'ose, right, in all the mitzvahs, even though he doesn't know how to keep even one mitzvah yet. What does a kid know at the age of 13? But he becomes a mitzvah v'ose, Yes, that's the Ma'av Gadol Mitzvah Vosa, which the difference between the Mitzvah Vosa and the Eino Mitzvah Vosa is this point, that the Mitzvah Vosa has divine power in his action because God told him to do it, so he has a divine command, he has the divine authorization, so the Mitzvah Vosa shakes the world when he does a mitzvah, like things we learned in Dark Shem, sends those reverberations up to heaven, you know, and moves things around. The Mitzvah Vosa does it. The Eino Mitzvah Vosa, who was never told by God to do it, doesn't have divine power in his action. But being a mitzvah osa was only because the tzivui is not, you know, information, but the tzivui was mad. The power of the actual divine words commanding you are in you, are on earth, in you and in the action. And that's what empowers, you know, the action to have cosmic repercussions and make a cosmic difference, change the world. And that's what happened on Shavuos. Right? That, you know, the reality was refashioned, reformed, right? So as, you know, the divine power could be manifest here. And that's why it's called Matan Torah, not in the sense that we got the information of Torah, but we were prepared, we got a general hachana, general kelim, right, to be a mitzvah va'osa, right, to have the, but the mitzvah also is that you have the command inside of you. You have the divine utterance command, you do it inside, so with that divine power, right, you do your mitzvah, and there's that divine power in the mitzvah to be a world shaper. And then you understand why Moshe Rabbeinu is not taught the Torah, you know, on earth. He goes to heaven to get the Torah. Right? Because ever since Shavuos, right, the world is conditioned to hold the essence of Torah. And Moshe Rabbeinu going to Shemayim, not being told on earth, right, is, represents, like Mamish, like a Lashon Chazal, that Moshe Horida L'Oretz. Ba Moshe v'samo afil b'chalolo sh'olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu even put divine revelation even within the space of the universe, space that we breathe. Literally. It was going up to, it represented that the essence of Torah was coming down. He wasn't being informed of what's written in Torah. He was getting the Torah. And his trips represented that the Etzem or HaTorah is coming down. But it wouldn't have struck root if not for Shavuos the day before. Right, changed the world. And that's why you understand why Am Yisrael dropped dead and had to be resurrected. Right? Nashi Yotza Bedabro. Right? You know, the, because reality was being totally restructured. Right? So the Goyimu didn't drop dead. They stayed with their old selves. We dropped dead and we were resurrected with the Koach of Torah. With the Koach of Torah. And that's Loshon Chazal, that the Torah was Mevakesh Rachamim on us. Right, that we should come back to life, that we're alive mikoach the Torah, and that's why, and that's what that Medrash says. That's why it said, Torah Hashem Tamima Meshivas Nefesh. It gave us our nefesh back because the Torah, you know, beseeched HaKadosh Baruch Hu for mercy, that we should be resurrected after we heard Him speak, which means that the koach of our life is all from Torah. We were rebuilt on the Torah, and since we were rebuilt on the Torah, that's why we could hold it. Because we were refashioned by the Torah. They weren't refashioned by the Torah. Right? And that's, by the way, the Lashon of Chazal, that there's a Lashon of Chazal that when we dropped that, of course we brought down the Tal, Shasin HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Achios Bo'as HaMesim, but that Tal is also Tal Torah. Like the Pasuk says in Hazinu, Tizal Katal Imrasi. You know, my words are like, dude, you know, that the Tal Shas HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Achios is Torah. Tal Torah Mechayeu. That's how the eternal life is life that's built on Torah. Right. So, I realize that's what changed. Shavuos, you know, changed reality. That now reality could hold the essential light of Torah, not live based on something that's written in Torah up there, but that the Or Torah is here and can strike root here. And we have the essential power of Torah in our actions. And that's why we are world shapers. That's why we have our destiny as a Jewish people, to be Or L'Goyim and to change the world. And that's why they hate us so much, right? Because that's what they sense we're doing here and what we're trying to do. Sorry, Barshab, that's what gets renewed. What gets renewed on this day is that reality is being refashioned to hold the Or of Torah. And that's, you know, and with this you can understand, you know, why Atzeres Kumel Bodu Bin Lachem, it's a machlokas in the Gemara, whether Simchas Yom Tov is obligatory, having the meat and wine, or it's rishus. We pass it's obligatory, it's chova. But on atzeres, on shvuas, kuliyam modu bin lachem, everyone admits. Right? Everyone admits it has to be lachem. Right? As, you know, everyone admits you have to have simchas yom tov. Because shvuas is the redemption of the whole world. The world got saved. It's a chag of the universe. So of course you should enjoy life. Because, you know, life has just been refashioned and recreated. Right? That's part of what it means. Akosha made a tnai that if you saw be makabel Torah, fine. If not, he's going to bring the world back to Tov Avo. World, life has just become. You should celebrate life because life has just been recreated, refashioned in the way it was always meant to be. So you should celebrate life. And that's what the Gemara goes on to say, right? That Rav Yosef, right, said, you know, by Shavuos is very makbid, igla tilta, the best meat, because ilav hahu yoma kama Yosef ika b'shuka. If not for this day, there will be plenty of people in the marketplace called Yosef. Right? It means that it liberated us from the marketplace. The best Olam Hazeh has to offer. I just gave another shiur on this in Queens, but just in a nutshell, the best that Olam Hazeh has to offer, if you don't have Torah, is a career. It's a market. Right? That, what's the greatest covet? Right? What's the greatest aspiration you could have in this world if you don't have Torah? A career. It means your place. You're basta in the shuk. Right? You're a little, you know, whether it makes a difference whether you're offering is, you know, medicine, law, or fresh vegetables. Mazel mishana. Right? Yeah, the shuk, right, is, you know, the career. That's all there is. Right? The Torah liberated us from that. Right? That it's not about a shuk. Right, and we're not in the Torah because there's a shuk for it. There's a market for it. There's a market for fidget spinners and every shtus. Yeah? We're not in it for the market because there's a market for it. It is of essential value, innate value. Right, but there is one more nekuda over here. Right, that there's an interesting halacha. Right, hizar bezaken sheshachach talmudo sheluchos v'shivrei luchos munachim baron. If a Talmud Chacham forgot his learning, Nebuch, you know, he forgot. You know, he got old and his mind deteriorated. You still have to be mechabed him. Because, you know, even the shivrei luchos, the luchos that are broken, are munachim baron. Right? Kedusha is forever. The Kedusha Satorah does not evaporate. You know, why? If a doctor forgot his medicine, right? He's not a doctor anymore. Right, so of course, Talmud Chacham forgets something. Shum Paskin Shas, but you say you have to give him covet of a Talmud Chacham. Why? Because Torah is not just the information. Torah is manifest here. That's why the kedusha of Torah is never bottled. All right, and Shavuos caused that. If not for Shavuos, then Torah would be a science like any other science. If you have the information in your head, it's just dead information, and if you forget it, you're worthless. The Torah is manifest. It's manifest inside of you. So if you're not conscious of it, the Kedusha Satar that you were carrying is not bottled. Rav Yosef was a Zaken Sheshachach Talmudah. We find elsewhere in the Gemara, he went blind at the end of his years and he forgot a great deal of his learning. From quite a few Gemaras that Abaye, his Talmud, reminded him, Amrasan, you taught this already. That's it. Not for Shavuos. That was a game changer. That Kedusha Satar became manifest in this world. Right, it's not just dead information. There's plenty of people, now that I forgot my learning, there's plenty of people called Yosef, but there's still a difference. Because the Torah that I once knew is never annulled. Kedusha Satorah is manifest and strikes root here in this world. So if you're not conscious of it, it's with you wherever you go. That's what Shavuos did for us.
Thank you.